It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 421.
What's happening, guys? Weekend banter. And we have 3D Deal's mum on the show today. Yeah. Yesterday it was my mama. Welcome,
Michelle.
Mama Toraville.
How are you?
Hello, everybody. How are you doing?
Oh, we're very good. I mean, Dill is an absolute taskmaster because it is currently after midnight in Toronto and he has somehow guilted you up to be up this way.
I've roped you into it.
Well, I wanted to see the reaction when you open another glitter bomb.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what. I don't know if he's learned it off you, Mama, but he's quite good when it comes to the PR behind some kind of launch of something or a reveal because we got a delivery last week. Here's what I know. It's big. It came from Canada and it cost $150 or something.
$175.
And he won't tell us what's in it, but he said, I'm getting mum on the show this weekend. Yeah.
Is the federal police involved? Is
that, Not that I know of. They probably looked at it, though.
Okay. This is exciting.
Yeah. It wasn't open like your last package where they had to go through the coffee and through the peanut butter.
Yeah, they had to sort through all that at customs.
Oh, so full on, isn't it, when they
do that? That's why the coffee that I gave you guys was all vacuum sealed. It doesn't come vacuum sealed.
Baby got a care package and they opened it. That's annoying. Anyway, this package hasn't been open, Michelle, and we're just going to pull it up right now.
Oh. Perfect.
Yeah. It's wow.
It's very well wrapped.
Yeah, so it's very well wrapped. It does feel like something.
Put our address on it if you don't want to show that to everyone.
That's fine.
That's right.
Literally, they can go to bigmediacompany.com and see our address. We're 8 Ferguson Street, guys. It's a great. Oh, but there's your address. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. If you want to send me stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Back in Canada,
Michelle, before we open it, I just need to tell you something about your son.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
He's been nicking my food from around the office.
He does that at home too. He'll steal the last cookie that you that's made, and I didn't do it. He'll put milk back in the fridge that's empty. Bag.
What's with the there's a certain type of person that eats the last cookie, isn't it? And it's definitely aligned with the person who has the last bit of milk as well.
Yeah, that's me.
But baby needs his cookies and milk.
Yeah. No, I'll go out of my way to finish a bag of milk.
I'll put
it back. Yeah, we have bags of milk back in Canada. That's a thing.
It's
a joke. No, like a legit thing. It's a plastic bag.
Like a goon bag of milk.
Yeah, like there's a plastic bag and there's milk in it.
Yeah, it's a total of 4 liters of milk.
Yeah. Really?
Where do you actually, so do you buy this from the place that you get your
From the superstore.
I guess it's sort of weird where cow, like the milk comes from anyway. So it's like, it's almost like a closer to the form of an utter.
Yeah, pretty much. It's got that.
How do you pour it out then? Is it?
You put it in a carton, like a plastic jug thing. You snip the tip off and it's just pour it out.
All right, let's not get bagged down. Michelle, can you reveal anything that won't give it away, but just to build a bit of hype? Because I want to see if he got what his mama gave him in terms of PRing something.
Let's just say a lot of work and time and effort went into these items.
Okay, great. That was just Michelle's
phone. That
was
epic.
That are in the box or in the bag.
Yeah.
Dylan came up with this idea.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I ran with this idea.
And made it into reality.
I think I made it a little bit better.
This is good. All right.
And then there's some stuff in there from his sister that for him, but this was nothing edible.
Okay, great. Yeah. Nothing edible.
That's amazing. She read my mind. I was thinking about candy and shit. Anyway, so should I open it?
This has been in the works since before I cut my thumb open.
No. June 20th,
Okay, so a week after I cut my thumb then.
Keep you honest.
So Tommy's opening it right now.
I almost need some scissors.
No, don't use scissors.
Do it?
Be a man.
Just be careful. All right, I got this.
So it's a very big white satchel style bag. Okay. And there's a bag within a bag. Oh my God, it's 4 liters of milk.
It's off.
Look at this. Okay, so I'm seeing...
Oh, it's in a vacked bag?
Oh, this is fancy.
Yes.
How do you unvac a bag? Oh, look at this.
How do we unvacuum it?
Across the top.
Yeah.
The blue...
Oh, you can just pull it open like a...
Like a normal bag. Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, look at this.
Thomas got it.
So what I'm seeing is that it looks like there's some form of wool, maybe. That's the vibe that I'm getting.
Got it open. Got it
here
open.
Here we go. I'm seeing balls. Blue ball. Blue balls.
Good one, Jeff.
Here we go. In the colours.
Oh, wow.
Here we go.
Forget your daily talk show hoodies.
Oh, look at this. Oh, this is amazing.
The daily talk show hand-knitted beanies.
Do you reckon this is a... Michelle, did you make these?
I did, and there's four of them that have matching pom-poms.
Yeah.
For you, Tommy, Dylan, and Mason.
Yeah, lovely.
Mr. 97.
Yeah.
And then there's five that have all different pom-poms.
That's amazing.
The gold one is for Brie.
Oh, thank you. She's going to love it.
That one's for Brie.
Oh, that's so cute.
That one's for Amy.
Wow. Oh, lovely.
She'll love it.
As Gemma is your queen Gronk. She gets her own set of hat and matching scarf. And there's also on the scarf, there is the daily talk show.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. There's so much work. I'm just putting my headphones off so I can put this on. This is the most amount of the daily talk show merch we've had in one sitting. And I don't think it's even too extra. This is perfect. Yeah, this is perfect for the footy. But also
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, this is going to be, this is great.
The initial idea of it was like, I've seen all these people coming out of the footy games wearing all these hats. And I'm like, oh, that, I really like that.
How do I look, 97?
You look
there we go. He's just grabbing his. Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. These are great. Unbelievable. So how long have you been? Yeah, how many hours did you put into this?
So we can invoice you.
I started these on June 22nd. And all the hats, the stitching, everything there that came in the parcel took me about a month.
Wow. This is amazing. Thank you so much. Like, so what's the design, like nailing the, working out how you're going to design it, getting the TDTS in it. What did it actually, how does it work?
The knitting was easy. Mm-hmm. I had a pattern and I just changed the pattern to incorporate the colors.
Yeah.
It was learning how to embroider the letters onto the, it's like an overstitch. Uh-huh. That was the tricky part because I'd never done that before.
These are, they're like so premium too. How nice are they feel?
Can I just say, they're not itchy either.
Yeah,
like,
they're not.
Like, you know, beanies are always itchy. This is perfect.
Yeah, this is quality Canadian wool.
It's, what's amazing, I'm just blown away. You've nailed the color too. Like, you've almost matched our
Panta.
I feel like Dill's been absolutely riding Michelle on making sure the color's perfect.
Man, we had like a 45-minute chat.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was in Walmart and I was going, had Dylan on FaceTime in Walmart. Okay, here's the blue. Here's a blue. Here's a blue. And then for Gemma's set, it was the same thing. Here's a pink. Here's a gray. Here's another pink. Here's another gray.
And I'm like, no. Pick another one.
Oh, they're so nice. They're going, and it's the perfect time because Melbourne this weekend is horrendous weather.
So windy.
And so this is the perfect accompaniment. Is that how do you say it? Accompaniment?
Accompaniment?
Yeah. Accompaniment. Yeah. I shouldn't have added the plug. thank you so much, Michelle. It's so generous and it's great because it's something that we can like constantly, like I feel like this is my look.
It's a bit of a peacock. Peacock looks as well.
So I look great?
It's a bit of a flex.
Go on, Michelle.
Dylan just wanted, like I saw the colors of the sign. Dylan liked the colors of the sign and just wanted to put that into the hat.
Yeah.
So I had to tweak the pattern a bit to be able to fit the letters across, but I was really pleased with how they turned out.
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. And seeing as we might not have you on again because I don't want to get you up, I mean, at 12 a.m. every night. Are you proud of your son? He's been amazing with us. He's got another couple of weeks to go. What I love about your son is that I can trust him. Mm-hmm. It's Not
unless it's unless there's Doritos.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely not. But no, I trust him, and that's what I look for in somebody that I don't have to second guess, and mm-hmm. I never second guess Dylan.
Thank you, I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, he's a good kid. You know, I mean, it was a big step for us to not let him come because he is an adult, but just to say, okay, yeah, you're flying halfway across the world to do this summer internship. And he's done it. Like he's, you know, and we're, Barry and I are just so grateful for what the three of you and your families have done for him. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like you making sure he's fed and making sure he's got good housing and, you know, the coffee maker doesn't break again.
What do you
for
say
selfish
to
reasons.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What do you say to your friends when they say, "Oh, what's Dill up to?" What do you actually? Yeah, how do you pitch it to
I'm
them?
I'm kind of curious too.
I say, "Oh, he's in Australia. He's doing an internship." What? Yeah, I said he's doing an internship for the big media company. I said, "Google it." I said, "Listen to their podcast." And
Well, I think we'll have to definitely send Dill home with a bunch of stickers because I was setting I'll make the stickers by hand. I was saying to Dill, I think that there's an opportunity to grow our Canadian audience.
Oh, definitely.
As well.
I mean, Dylan's come over here, and people back home probably think he's in some reality show because you didn't put out content as such before.
No.
And now you've been in more podcasts than you can imagine, and videos have been made about you being rushed to hospital. And
yeah, it's bizarre.
Have you had a favorite episode, Michelle?
Oh.
Because you watch it on the TV, right?
See, I prefer watching the YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Listening to it is okay, but I prefer really seeing the engagement between you and the guests. Uh-huh. You get more out of it watching it than you do just listening it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a favorite one. Uh-huh. I love the short ones like you did with the fire trucks.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
you did with the waffles mm-hmm. and how you made the shorter video. Those were really fun. And then I show them to his little sister, Allie, when I know the content's not going to be.
The TDTS bits are safe.
I try to remove all swearing out of them.
Yeah, so we actually did that in the highlights video. I don't think there's a single swear word.
I just did it in this one that I'm making now. Good. It's one about Mr. 97's hair that will be out.
The bleached hair, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're doing all that.
And what do you think of that, by the way?
Yeah, what do you think of Mr. 97's hair?
Oh, I love it. I think Dylan should have done it too.
Yeah. Maybe you could do that on your first week back home.
Yep, see, get bleached hair. I'd rather do it here.
Send it back with bleached hair.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think it turned out really good.
Yeah,
I color my hair. For me, it's no big deal. I've shaved my hair off. I raised money for cancer. I shaved it off completely.
Amazing.
It's hair. It's gonna grow back.
Yeah. Unless you're me. I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is growing back. So, but 97 was definitely took one for the team.
That's his hair, for sure.
First time that he'd ever had his hair bleached, and it was burning a little bit for him.
Yeah,
just but,
bleaching is harsher than just coloring. Yeah. But no, it looks really, really good.
Oh, well, thank you, Michelle. We really do appreciate this. We're going to be wearing them. I actually lost my beanie, so I've now got a new one.
I did notice that, actually.
3D Dill has been, for the past month, stealing everyone's beanies so that when the reveal happens, we can all wear these. Also, say hi to Barry for us, too. But thank you so much, Michelle, for staying up late and also for all the hours spent in doing this. This is like... this is ridiculously cool.
Yeah, we've got five yes. more. So what's the deal with the extra five?
What should we do?
What are we going to do with those?
Well,
Dylan asked me to think of a way that you can give them out to listeners. I have still not come up.
You've been busy.
With a way.
You've been busy.
I just knew that. Because Gemma is your queen gronk, she needed her own special set.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there's definitely one for Pete.
He loves a beanie.
Yeah,
I've seen him with a beanie.
I think he definitely has one.
But I will stop you there because I don't want you to make any other promises. I'm happy with Pete. Pete's good.
Pete gets one and then...
And we'll work that
we'll
out.
Sort everybody else
because we cannot say someone gets it and then they don't. That's just a dog act.
All right. No, good pickup. Thanks so much, Michelle. Enjoy your evening.
Tommy?
Yes?
Did Dylan show you the picture of him catching a real fish?
No.
Oh, yeah, the fish that you had in that photo was kind of small.
Yeah, but you do realize I didn't catch it. You do realize.
Yeah, no, that's exactly my point.
That's my point.
Oh, because Dylan had a fish bought for him.
No, because I catch fish.
Oh, no,
mate, I've been fishing.
So take that's an Atlantic cod.
Oh, that's a good one.
Hold it up.
It's a good little fish.
That's a big one.
Oh, cute.
That's a huge fish.
Oh, that's massive.
I have caught a shark before, so I'm not going to trump your son at this moment. But
great white.
I've caught a half a meter flathead, which is unheard of.
Is that a hammerhead?
Nah, flathead. It's different, a fish that's just invaded the bay here.
Mm. Oh, really?
And it's like it's spiny back, and you can eat it, but it's just annoying. They're like the sea carp. They're everywhere. Mm. But I have caught that. Anyway, I won't break. Caught a stingray accidentally, but yeah, you know. Ooh. Anyway,
good flex.
Thanks, Michelle. Have a nice sleep, if that's not weird to say.
You guys are so welcome. I wish, I wish I would have done more. Like, when Dylan went over, I sent the hat and the mitts for Bodhi.
Yeah, he loves them.
I didn't have time to do something like this before Dylan left. So I want, that was my goal originally. I said to Dylan, I said, well, what if you took hats over for everybody. Yeah. He's like, no. Didn't have time to do that. And then this came about. So I was so pleased to be able to do it and was really happy with how they turned out. I don't know if they should go in the wash because I don't know if the pom-poms will.
Yeah. It's natural fibers. It's all good. The bacteria will break down even with the folliculitis. No, put a name on mine.
It might break.
Yeah. We won't put it in the wash. Well, babies won't put it in the wash. Yeah, promise you that.
Yeah. Just wash it by hand if you have to.
Yeah. Because they're not machine-made pom-poms and they're not really, really tight.
Very quickly, are you doing anything for Organized August?
I always do stuff for organized. I cleaned all my yarn up today. All my yarn down the basement, got rid of books underneath the table.
Little bit of Marie Kondo decluttering.
Yeah, Organized August.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a good day. Good day, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Love you, Mum.
Love you, Mama. See ya.
Ellie, bye.
Guys. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
See you soon. Bye. I panicked. I won't see you soon. It always happens.
Yeah, I'm going to see you soon.
This is amazing. This is epic. Mate, isn't you're it? Very good at keeping secrets.
Yeah. I know. I really, really, really wanted to spill it, but I was like, oh, it's just going to be too good.
What else are you keeping from us? Let's be honest. I mean, you've stolen my chips. You've anything else?
I'm actually not 21. I'm 48.
I'm 48. It's just a bit weird.
I'm coming up to near the end of your time with us, but we were talking on Friday about footy has been a bit of a theme. Mm.
Yeah, recently.
What's the latest with all our footy stuff?
I will say I got a message from Andy White, Fixo, and he said, I'll send you Gronks some scarves.
Oh, great.
To wear.
Oh,
and really? So then we'll have beanies and we'll have some Fixo scarves.
This is perfect.
It'll be perfect. Then you'll be able to take the Fixo scarf home.
Yeah. I loved Gemma pointed out your fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just saw it. I mean, you think you got your boys behind you, your mates supporting you, but then you jump into your own fucking Instagram feed and then you look in your Instagram messages and you see the bloody hatred for your besties.
Well, to be clear, you had said, what did he say?
Gold Coast Suns was GWS.
Yeah. I was annoyed. I fucked it up. Greater Western Sydney and Gold Coast Suns. Giants are the Greater Western Sydney and then the Gold Coast Suns.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the great thing is that you approach it with confidence, which is all that matters.
It's the funny bit.
It's a way of life. Yeah. The confident approach. What else have we got? Seth Godin put out a great did you guys read it? Because I sent it to the Slack.
Is this the podcast?
Yeah, did you read it?
No.
So I just want to – I think it's so great because it sometimes feels like we are going nowhere. You know, but it's because we're so in the process. We're so in the process, you can feel. Like, I think that's what dreamers do, right? They're thinking ahead. Yeah. They're thinking about the possibilities and they don't get stuck in the process.
The beanie looks so good on
you. Does it? Yeah, I was looking at Mr. 97 just thinking how cute
we all look
great.
How do I look?
You look great.
Great. Yeah.
You look great.
Because you guys look great.
You look great too, baby.
You have the pom-pom. Yeah.
You got to put the pom-pom on the...
Behind
anyway,
the top.
It's hard, mate. Regardless. You're not always wearing fucking headphones.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway, I think you can, when you're in the process, you sometimes lose track of how far you've come. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think reflecting sometimes, like the 400th episode, we did the throwback to all of, and it's amazing looking it back. I mean, Josh watched it. You could repeat every moment of that because you watched it so many times.
Definitely.
Seth Godin, if you haven't subscribed to his blog, do it. He sent one last week, Friday, Streaks. That was the name of it.
Which, funnily enough, like I only, like Durham had mentioned Streaks, the app only like a week and a bit ago. I reckon it was before this and I was talking about Streaks.
You think Seth's listening?
Maybe.
I mean, he's probably listening to see if his book's been rewritten. Yeah. I'd be anticipating that if I got the email.
How's your book going, Dil?
It's actually in the last, all the interior content got approved. And now they're just approving the front and the back cover. So
are we going to get a signing before you go?
Yeah, it should be done by Monday. Monday at noon is when they
estimate. So Monday at noon and then they'll be printed?
Yeah. The way it works is it's a print on demand service. Mm-hmm. So
there's demand.
I can order.
Get the printers ready.
I can order 10 copies and they'll only print 10 copies. So that way there's no kind of waste of stuff, like waste of material.
Well, we want... copy 001 in the studio.
Yeah,
like we want the first copy ever to be in existence and we'll frame it.
100%.
I'll read it first.
So this is Seth Godin.
Yeah. The name of it, Streaks. Today is the 11th year in a row of daily posts on this blog. Nearly 5 million words since my first post 20 years ago. And I haven't missed a day. Given some time zone wiggle room since 2008, Streaks are their own reward. Streaks create internal pressure that keeps Streaks going. Streaks require commitment at first, but then that commitment turns into a practice and the practice into a habit. Habits are much easier to maintain than commitments. I'm pretty sure that the blog would still have an impact if I missed a day here or there. But once a commitment is made to a streak, the question shifts from, should I blog tomorrow to...
What'd you say? Should I blog tomorrow?
Should I? Yeah, always blog.
Should I blog tomorrow?
Always blog.
Always blog.
Should I blog tomorrow to what will tomorrow's blog say? And once you've made that shift, it's 100 times easier to find a voice, find that voice that you're looking for. I didn't set out to have this particular streak. I don't remember the day the blog went from most days to every day, but I'm glad to have gone on this journey. Thanks for being a part of it. It's so fucking true.
Yeah.
You don't know what you'll learn. I think the streaks do teach you. Like, I just, we've still got vision of your mum there.
Yeah.
And I just thought she was looking at me. I got so excited. But I mean, what have you learned from showing up, Dil, from what we've been doing, the daily thing? Because I think you're an external, person that's sort of come into the fold and we've just, Josh and I have had our fucking heads down.
Yeah.
And then you've put your head down.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was interesting, especially coming into this space as a listener in the very beginning. I had started as a fan. I was like, oh yeah, I like this. And then came into it. It's like, I'm a part of it now. It was a bit of a weird mental transition, but, like there's so much that I've learned. It's like, it doesn't have to be hard to continue doing something like doing this pod. It is hard. There is a lot of challenges involved with it. But you don't have to make it an inconvenience. It's like you guys like doing this.
Yeah.
You know?
So I love doing it.
The reframing, you're saying don't see it as...
Yeah, it's been reframing doing something daily. I used to think of doing something daily as like a chore that I had to get through or like a box to check off. And then once it was done. And I wouldn't really look at it until I go back to it. But it's allowing it to become more of a rhythm. Instead of necessarily a step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. It's not something, it's a recurring rhythm.
Talking about recurring rhythm, a couple of nights ago, you came over for dinner.
I did.
And we were walking to a Woolworths, and at the Woolworths, you're like, my knees are really sore.
Yeah.
I felt like in that moment I was being primed for something. I was like, oh, yeah. And then you said, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do all this running.
Well, I haven't opted out of Organized August for running the 200 kilometers. Mm.
But you've had what you, would you describe it, an injury?
I would say so, because I went to do a 10K the other day at a slower pace, mm-hmm. at a slower pace 10K, and I got halfway into it and my left knee just didn't feel right. Like it went, I was going, oh, okay, Josh, tell me how much you run.
No, I was saying the straight away I went to like, fuck, you're going to dislocate your fucking knee before you go home.
That's why I stopped the run and I went back home and I didn't do the rest of the 10K, because if it's hurting now, it's only going to get worse if I run another 5 kilometers.
I mean, the one thing you haven't learned from this podcast is when Josh tried to walk a million steps in a month and he caved 4 days which is a similar thing. I mean, it's due to injury. Yeah. Anything going
people
from-
die on Mount Everest.
You're going from no podcast to seven a week. It would fuck you up.
Exactly.
Five was a massive feat, but I don't think – I reckon we would have crumbled if we tried to do seven.
Yeah.
From five, we just survived and then got through.
That's a good saying.
I know.
Five, we just survived, and then it got to the nice place where you're like, we're comfortable now.
We can cut that last bit of five, the saying out. Five, we were just alive.
But no, I'm still going to do
So what are you doing instead?
Starting to get into doing morning pages, just so that way I'm not completely opting out of the whole Organized August.
From thing. Running 10Ks to...
Well, I'm still...
How many Ks have you done so far?
64.
Yeah, that was actually not bad. 64.
Not bad. It's almost... Well, yeah, 64. It's decent.
No, I was saying like not bad. That's a good effort.
Yeah.
It's nearly...
It's basically...
It's over a quarter.
It's basically a third.
You could... What are you saying? You cannot run? Like, are you going to do 10, like 3Ks a day, or...
I might just do 3Ks in the morning, 3Ks at night.
Oh, what if you just do three and then a long one at the end?
Yeah.
How are you going
with the end?
Yeah. How are you going with your ideas?
Yeah, good.
Can you read some of them?
Oh, no, definitely
no,
not.
No, please.
Definitely not. The thing is
We've gone very inside baseball. Like on Friday, we're talking about monetization.
I'd never heard anyone say inside baseball as much as you, but then I started hearing other people say inside baseball. What do you mean?
I kind of get
what you mean, but
I actually had a great conversation yesterday. Mr. 97 and I were filming a lovely lady at her house, and she had baseball on.
Did she?
A lot of banter about baseball.
A lot of table banter.
Yeah. Well, did you see? Like, it's one of those moments where I try and make it about me, and no one
responded.
I said, "Oh yeah, no, I played table for a while." To be fair, her son, his name's John.
Yeah.
He plays in Japan. 6'9" is how tall John is.
You'd have a good arm.
Yeah.
Good arm.
And he does, he pitches. But anyway, I was getting right into it. They just had the baseball on at home. Can you see why I would get into the whole baseball at home on the TV? There's something calming about it.
Yeah, I could see. Yeah.
What is it about it?
You'd be down for that. I don't know. I feel like you'd enjoy just watching all the teams just like track along and just... Mm. Watching the scores and when the crowd goes mental with like home runs and stuff.
Mate, well, 3D Dill, when he came over to my place, we ended up watching the most horrendous injuries from hockey.
Yeah.
Oh. A guy's.
Because remember, Josh was like, oh, yeah, I reckon I could play hockey. I'm like, no, Josh. Yeah.
Nah, they beat each other up.
Well, so he showed me this footage of a guy who was skating.
Oh, no.
And another guy sort of slipped up. And his blade has sliced the guy's throat.
He didn't live.
But you just see the blood splurting.
Main vein artery.
Ridiculous.
Jesus.
And so
he did live.
Yeah, he did live. But that's what he would show me. Like, 3D Till kept showing me videos. And then when it finished, he goes, and he lived.
Did he show you the puppy videos?
No, which puppy?
What puppy videos?
The joke from the other day. When you kill your first puppy, the next one.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was in reference to him being hard. He's never killed a puppy. I'll just say that. One of the ideas I got, I watched The Big Hack or The Great Hack.
Yeah, the Cambridge Analytica doco.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But it's just interesting. The company that was behind the Trump campaign, Brexit, and they helped gather all the data, and they have data scientists that work out audience and basically personality profiling for the candidates – or the people that would be most likely to vote for someone like Trump. Trump. And so then they sort of reverse engineer and then Facebook target advertising. You know, it's amazing.
That's not your idea.
No. But I was inspired by that around we're always talking about how to build an audience and what that looks like. And I think there's a lot of bullshit spun around building audiences. And I know I've done a lot of reading on it and nothing – like when you're starting to slowly do it, it doesn't really make sense what I've read because there's a part of it that is nonsensical. It's hard to understand.
Reading's hard.
Yeah, that's – I wasn't even talking about audience at that point. But there is something when we start to gather, and one of the things we do behind the scenes here is sort of we log all of the interactions and communication that we have in our spreadsheets and stuff, which, you know, people who interact with the show, we send them stuff, people who win this. It's like
– we're building personas.
Yeah, and for creative businesses, they're not tangible in most cases. They're ideas that are flying through your head that you kind of might make a video on then, but there's nothing rock solid, you know. It's not a bricks and mortars business. It's not a industrial age business where you've got, you know, your big workshop where things that you see it moving and that's when it's actually being you're being paid.
That would be fun though.
It would be,
fucking love that.
Yeah. My mate's dad has a factory that, you know, has lots of yarn and they do like tags for boots and shit that, you know, pull your boot up. Like they sell all these tangible products and they make a lot of money doing it. But it's just heavy labor and, you know, it's amazing though. But you see when the machines are on, they're making cash. Whereas creative endeavors.
Heavy labor.
Yeah. Your hands got softer at that point. But I was thinking around people trying to build audience and there's people that are data scientists and there's degrees now that you can do in data science. And one of my ideas was to contact a university, whatever it be, Monash University, that have students that are wanting to become data scientists and that's what they're studying, and bringing them into the Daily Talk Show, the headquarters here, and speaking with them. And this is something so far outside of what you'd think normally about how you go about building an audience and getting a perspective from what we're kind of understanding, because I think there's something to add there. This is how they successfully won these campaigns. The woman in in the documentary, this is what she did. And so it's the idea is to reach out to a university and say that there's a project where we want to understand the data that we're getting. You know, does Facebook have 1,000 data points on humans?
Yeah.
And so
it seems low. I feel like they probably have even more than that. I mean, that's
that's enough to build out a profile of the person that they want for their audience.
Well, think about the amount of interactions that we have on social media, even if it's even from what phone you're using to the operating system to the times of day that you're going on to who you're messaging when.
And this is where I went down the rabbit hole of thinking about, you know, AI ingesting every episode's audio and transcribing it and looking through it and like the profiling that they could do on you and I, Josh, like seeing the words and the things and the – like there is something that I can't even fathom about how to do that can be done, and that's why I was inspired by watching this documentary, just to punch out a bunch of ideas around how we could bring a data scientist in to start to understand more of our audience and when. And it's like, I mean, there's Instagram should give you tools and analytics, but it's not to the degree that some of these programmers can and these data scientists can ingest and actually understand what it all means.
Yeah, there's a website, I think it's called Monkey Learn. Can you look it up, Mr. 97? But it's like
Monkey Learn.
It's like a computer learning.
Text analysis, machine learning.
Machine learning, yeah.
And so you can, it's actually like available now. So you could could go in and put in data and start getting that sort of thing. So we could do something where it's like, we could do something interesting around connecting episodes and then working out when we receive email or when we receive Instagram comments, and then work out what words most resonate with people. Yeah. So what words are in the episodes that get the most amount of people to write to us?
It's so fascinating because, I mean, there is YouTubers that play to the algorithm. Mm-hmm. So they're piggybacking minimalism or, you know, things like this. Like, you know, Matt Diavel has landed on something pretty amazingly. Mm-hmm. You know, he made the documentary about it, so he was really into it. But then you see the other people sort of tapping into the niche that is gathering the most momentum and then coming up, like what your video that was digital minimalism.
Yeah.
You're a guy, Josh, that has a lot of thought. We learned yesterday in my mum's episode, mm-hmm. you thought about this bully who bullied you and why he's doing it. It's probably because his mum passed away. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
And you put a lot of thought into that. And it worked. It made sense. Mm. And so
didn't work with the bully, but yeah.
No, it didn't work with the bully, but your digital minimalism video to how many views? 75,000 or something?
Like that. But it was actually like 40. Man.
Because you saw... was I in that one?
No, you weren't in that one. But I think there was it. That's why.
But then even what about... So the problem I have with playing to the algorithm is that you lose... You lose authenticity in the content because you're doing it for something else. But I do think if creation isn't a problem for us because we're doing it daily, I think when you can start to understand, because I think people would start off trying to go, let me get some data science and let me understand this and let me do it before I start. Mm-hmm. But then when you start doing something, you can gather, there's more information coming at you anyway, but then it's about how to interpret it. So if we did know that people liked X, Y, and Z, would you speak to it more?
Yeah.
I don't know, but and if it, my pushback would be no if I didn't feel like I wanted to, because don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, in 2 years we'll be robots.
Yeah.
But there's something interesting with Monkey Learn that I saw a while ago where it's like they've got all these case studies, 97, you'd like this, case studies of how you can use it. And one of the ways is you can, there's a service, what's it called? Help a journalist out, help a reporter out. HARO, help a reporter out, and it's it sounds like across the road. Harrow, welcome. but seriously, there's like a little fucking character that says Harrow, welcome. Basically, what you do is journalists can put up stories that they're writing about or requests. So, for instance, if they're writing a story about podcasting. They can say, we need podcasters to be quoted in this article.
Yeah.
Then basically that's how you can get media coverage and things like that. But one of the cool things is you can combine it with Monkey Learn and you can feed it an RSS feed of all of these different help a reporter out like requests, and you can go through yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. You do like 100 of them and then – Monkey Learn can say yes to which ones you think you should do, and then you can automatically have it send your details to them. So you can automate the selection and then automate the email that goes to the journalist.
Wow. That's sick.
Yeah. Have you looked at that?
It's mind blowing. Yeah. I'm just looking through some of their other use cases.
What other use cases?
Yeah, what do they do?
Oh, there's one that's sort of like a curated publisher, so it's in a similar vein that they just feed in a bunch of RSS feeds of articles, and then it goes through and selects which content they want to actually publish on the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of like support ones that filters through like emails and replies to figure out like what are the pain points in products and solutions and stuff like that.
Mm. We've got emails. While you bring up the emails, Shannon DM'd us and said, what's happening with the testosterone test?
Okay. So I got straight onto the text message with Craig Harper. I just thought he's got a lot of people.
A lot of testosterone.
He's got a lot of testosterone. He's got a lot of scientist friends, doctors, you know.
Mm-hmm. He knows people.
Well connected. I said, serious question. We want to see who has the most testosterone in the office. Where would one get their bloods done to find out something like this? And he said, definitely you, Matt. No, he didn't. He said, just see a GP and they'll send you to a pathology lab to get tests done and he or she will interpret the results. So we're going to have to pay for deals because he doesn't have Medicare.
So what does that work? That's what I was wondering.
We'll get it free under Medicare?
He doesn't have Medicare.
No, but as in we'll get it free under Medicare.
The three of us will be able to go to the GP and the pathology.
So I need to sort out my Medicare card.
You just organize August, get it done. Yeah, yeah. Get it done. Or get mum to text you over, which I did for 10 years. But get it done.
And so, and what is it? What is it going to cost for Dill to have $150?
$80 to go to the GP. Yeah. And then another 120 or something.
What about a cheeky? Test? He just comes in with me, with my GP. Oh, by the way, can you fucking give him a referral too?
Yeah.
Might as well try.
But then there has to be – the claim process happens at both ends. So it happens at the GP's office, has to put through a claim. Yeah. I mean, you just go with him. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't see why. I mean, we'll pay for it. We've promised it. Yeah. We'll just fucking pay for it.
And so what's the deal from here? So we need to
– book in next week, GP, go see whoever.
We should get everything. Where. How about, like, who do you think's got the highest iron levels?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll just go in.
Big flex.
So maybe, I go in first.
Cholesterol.
Maybe I go in first just to do the initial, because we can't do it all at once. So I could just go down. So I'll be like, speak to them. Can we get a testosterone? Can we
– why don't we try and get a doctor who listens to the show?
Oh, even better.
Why don't we try that? If you're a doctor or you know a doctor, you're very close to a doctor who can help us do this all in one fucking go.
That'd be amazing.
Maybe even a cashie.
I mean, how about just a freebie? Help the boys out.
Freebie's good.
I mean, yeah, we'll pay.
We'll give – how about we give them one of the beans?
No. They don't respect –
but if they're giving us a fucking freebie, they're a doctor.
If you listen to the actual show and you are a doctor and you like the show, then I'd be inclined. But I'm just saying, I'm just saying, not to somebody who just has a mate who's a doctor.
Cousin's mate's a doctor.
Yeah, but never heard, never listened to the or got around the boys. So I think that's a great idea. I think we can make this happen. Shannon, thanks for the little bit of prompting. Mm. We will get this done.
Emails. What else is happening?
Oh, we got an email from Ian. Mm-hmm. This is for Dill.
Yeah.
3D Dill's final weeks in Australia. Ian wants to know if you can make it to a family barbecue on Sunday afternoon.
I'll be there.
Are you going?
I'll go.
Have you emailed back?
I've emailed them already.
I actually put it out there. I said, look, if you want Dill, I'm pimping Dill. Yeah.
I'll do it.
That's so nice. This is Ian who sent me an email.
Yeah.
Fuck, I've got to write him a little card to take to him, okay? Mm.
Yeah,
so we'll do it first.
Yeah, organise August.
Yeah. Is that one of your ideas for today?
Yeah, right. Definitely. Good I just had it. Good and call. I'll use one of the letterheads.
Undersell, over deliver.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have to include some favourites or something. If you're actually going to people's houses in Australia, you should always bring favourites.
Oh, yeah, the thing.
If you don't know.
The
if you
thing to bring when you're not told to bring a thing.
Yeah.
No, is that what it is?
That's what it is. The thing to bring when you're told not to bring a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Dill.
Yes.
This is great, but if you come early, you might be able to hit the mountain bike tracks.
Oh, we're going
to
go.
With Ian as well.
We're going early then.
Just be careful.
Yeah, don't die.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Don't die.
Well, he's not with us, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
He's not under our supervision.
Exactly.
I would still prefer him to be okay.
Oh, I'd like him to live.
Yeah.
to be honest.
Ideally.
He came with gifts and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who gets Dill's bag? Too dark. Real dark. Any other emails?
Ian will keep him.
Keep him good. The beanie?
No. He can see your beanie. You should wear that.
Yeah,
Rock up like this.
Oh, I'm going to.
100%. Full.
And was there? I feel like there was other email, or did I make that up?
We've got a nostalgic story.
Oh, yes.
Now, that was confusing as fuck.
So, Mr. 97.
Yeah.
Well before your time. Well before your time, Dill, probably before you were born, when Josh and I were doing this podcast, we got this weird email. Episode 32? 37?
I was still alive. I was born.
Have you heard this episode though?
Yeah.
So we got a bizarre email. And I mean, this was early days, right? Episode 20, we started telling people that we had a podcast. Before that, we didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
And so there has to be, what we worked out was, we don't know who it is.
No.
But they said that they went to school, high school.
Primary school.
Primary school with Josh. Mm-hmm. So.
And then they told a story. They had like this big, long ass story.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't actually remember that happening.
And I trust you, not because you're just my business
partner. Because I love
partner,
a story.
But you've got a memory for nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Your memory's better for nostalgia than shit that happened yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nostalgic memory beats short-term memory. Oh,
definitely.
Have I had lunch today?
No, you haven't.
No.
Okay, that's a problem.
Did you just remember that? Because I don't know where that
came. Yeah, well, I was just thinking things that I do remember.
Little chippies.
He had some chippies.
It doesn't count as fucking lunch.
Anyway, so it was a fabricated story according to Josh. And the reason Josh is saying, don't worry about that email, is because he thinks it's fabricated again. Can you read it out? I know you've been training for this one. Can you take it away?
Okay. It's super long.
Is it long?
Yeah,
paraphrase. It's so hard to paraphrase.
Read us the first paragraph, the last paragraph.
Yeah, right. Yeah, first sentence, last sentence.
Because I actually haven't read it. I just glanced over it. It didn't make a lot of sense. I read the last bit, which is good. So yes.
Yeah, I know. Well, so, I mean, we've got to preface a little bit. In Australia, there's forced participation in swimming lessons at primary school and I think high school.
Yeah, I remember doing swimming.
In high school?
I didn't know if I had a choice, so I guess that's forced. I mean,
you would have been forced rowing, I feel like.
I mean, kids don't want to do fucking shit.
Yeah.
So they just get...
You got to go
swimming.
And so Josh's anxiety wasn't around the swimming. It was around the stress of changing in the bathroom.
Well, you're talking about this as facts. You're reading an email at this point, yeah?
Yeah, I'm reading it.
Okay. You sort of went into talking and then you started reading the email. Do you understand?
I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
Yeah, but make it sound like you're now reading. Tell us when you're reading or not.
Josh
you can't.
Would typically wear a wetsuit.
Oh, I thought he was actually saying that. I thought he was prefacing the email with, so Josh didn't like swimming.
Yeah. No.
That's in the email. I was just paraphrasing.
Did you see where it's confusing?
Ben Fordham needs to help you, mate. He's a Walkley Award winner.
What's the last bit of the email?
No, you're in email mode and take it away from the very beginning.
Josh was getting changed.
So he doesn't.
Well, that's the beginning of the email.
Hi. I didn't even say hi.
You want me to read the whole email?
Well, I said the start of the email. Oh, fucking hell.
Okay.
What's the subject line?
Hilarious, nostalgic Josh story number 2.
Take it from the very beginning.
Number 2.
Hi, Gronks. You might recall my touching, nostalgic, mostly true story from episode 37. Mostly
you now true. See why we lost it. At him. Keep going.
It was regarding Josh's fraudulent flatulence with his armpit/bum. I do admit that I exaggerated the smell and I implied he was drinking Metamucil. It was likely Fanta.
Were you? Metamucil? Did you drink that?
The funny thing is that the Fanta thing that they're talking about, I did have orange mineral water each day. Oh, at the school canteen.
No, this person, I'm starting to believe them more and more. Now, I want this whole email now. This is fucking intriguing.
I went to Moskiel Park.
Moskiel Park.
Moskiel
Park. M-O-S-S-G-I-E-L.
That's where you went?
M-P-P, yes. Moskiel Park Primary School, yes.
Yeah.
And have a number of hilarious, mostly neurotic stories revolving around Josh.
Oh, this is completely true.
Well, so it sounds true up to this point.
Okay.
Your talk of footy reminded me of a gem of a story.
Great. He listens regularly. Or she.
Did they sign off with a name?
No, name.
That's why I gave it.
And they've set up a fucking Gmail account for this. Okay, go on.
Okay. For some of us, the 2 to 3 weeks of forced participation of swimming is stressful. For example, do I look like a sissy when I breaststroke?
Can't say sissy anymore.
What is the meaning of a sissy? A girl. Is that what they're saying?
In a week, I don't know. With Josh, the stress was largely due to the change rooms. Mm. Josh would typically wear a wetsuit or shorts or baggy board shorts.
Is this true? Wetsuit? Do you ever
I wore it at a rashie, probably, yes.
No, he's just exaggerating again. I get it.
His changing into school uniform technique was thoroughly prepared. He would first attack his fears, get it out of the way, so to speak. He would wrap the towel around his waist, change his shorts underneath, and then tackle his upper body afterwards.
This is your classic kid.
Classic kid.
Yeah. Although I have seen you walk around in a towel.
When?
In New York, you're walking around in a towel.
I have been criticized. Once I fucking wore it, like hiding my breasts, and Bray called me out.
Never call them breasts. You've been defeated. Nothing wrong with breasts. Love them. But
everyone has breasts. Yeah, breast tissue.
Breast tissue, yeah. But when you're referring
to
a man's chest.
Breasts.
Pectoral muscles.
My
chest region. They're not breasts, baby boy. Continue.
Solid, strong breasts.
Yep.
Rock hard breasts.
The very breast.
The very breast. However, on this faithful day, whether it be a gust of wind or destiny getting nervous, his plan was foiled. The towel fell off and Josh was confrontingly nude in the change room.
Now, what's coming up is the revealer of why it's not true.
But was it true to this point where your towel went down?
No, I feel like it's traumatic enough that I would remember that.
You're nude, your little mushroom's out. It's could be mistaken for just a small piece of fungus. But anyway, that's what mushrooms are, fungi.
Yeah. Yes, this is true.
In a time-saving effort, Josh tucked his manliness between his legs.
Mangina.
And quickly tried to put on his undies.
Oh, he's done a mangina to get his undies on. You're in a bit of a pickle there if you're trying to tuck your dickie behind your fucking...
Little pickle behind me.
Jeez, I mean... just pop back out. Or that's popped in. So now it looks like you have a vagina.
Which is fine.
Right, nothing wrong with that.
At this very moment...
My best friend has one. It's funny saying that. Go on.
At this very moment, the classes for the next group of swimmers entered the change room.
He's got an audience.
A popular bully pointed and yelled, ha-ha.
This is the kid that he was referring to on Mum's episode.
No. I had so many bullies.
Yeah. Do you want to go fuck them up? Dude, Mum said I was
they're all fucked up. They're all like, we'll have to go to fucking the jail.
Oh, yeah. No, I probably won't mess with them.
It was a small passing moment, but Josh fretted on it on the following few days. Determined to prove his masculinity, but very conscious of not being sexist, Josh tried to subtly imply that he was 100% a red-blooded bloke.
I mean, up to this point, there is a lot of truth to that. You don't like to be sexist. Mm. You try very hard, not something that makes it sound like you are sexist, but you're considerate, you're progressive, and I could imagine that you'd fret over it for a couple of days. So I'm believing this guy or girl.
It started with telling the bully's friends that he kicked 4 goals in footy on the weekend.
Definitely a type to say that he would kick 4 goals. Okay.
I've never kicked 4 goals.
But I could imagine you.
I probably said it, mate.
I wasn't saying you'd done it. I just said you'd said it.
I've kicked 1 goal before.
One.
And it was on a round robin where they had smaller grounds. They halved the grounds.
Oh, yeah.
And so the only reason 50 metres to the goal square.
Yeah. No, well, yeah. The only reason I got it was because I could fucking run the oval. I didn't get puffed out. I got best on ground.
That's nice. Anyway, nice.
Good for you.
He started spitting while leaning against walls.
I don't spit.
And declared he had pubes.
Okay. So this is the thing.
The pube thing I know you've referenced.
Yeah. Pubes I didn't get until I was in your age.
You never lead with that, dude. You were smart enough to know not to say you didn't have pubes. You'd say you do have pubes because it doesn't mean they have to pull your pants down.
But how would, if it's true, people would have seen my pubic area.
Yeah. I mean, but maybe. Anyway, continue. Let's just get to the bottom of this.
Ultimately, he ended up admitting to the bully that he tucked it away, and that reaffirmed that he definitely has a dong. The bully literally couldn't remember the interaction.
I didn't know that was being speculated, whether or not it was a dickie or a...
Yeah, so the bully didn't remember the interaction.
I'm so sorry.
All the stress was for nothing.
It's weekend banter.
It's amazing. Amazing the time this person has on their hands.
Yeah.
Commend that. I'd give him a fucking hood. I'll give him a beanie.
No.
If you come out and say who you are, I'll give you a beanie.
They've got a real style, mate, with the way they worded everything.
But what did they sign off?
P.S. Oh. Keep this ripper pace up, fellas. Enjoy the glitter bomb. Woof, woof.
Oof. Absolute gronk. Is this the gronk that sent us the fucking
I don't glitter think bomb? So. I feel like, did you see Ben Fordham's Instagram comment?
That he said, enjoy the glitter bomb.
And then he did like hands up.
I don't think Glenn Fordham sent it. I don't think Ben sent it because I said, what's his mailing address? Because I'm going to send you something we got on the show. So I
and
told
he was
him
like,
about
what were you, what'd you get?
But then I think he listened to the show. Anyhow, that email address that person has, I looked it up last night.
Yeah.
I can't find anything. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's it? Can you read it out? Or just like the first bit? It's like
Mantener El Mysterio.
Yeah. So like that's a character or that's something El Mysterio.
El Mysterio, yeah.
So anyway, I looked it up. It's, couldn't find anybody. The woof woof at the end, the glitter, like they listen to the show. They know the woof woof. Yeah. We haven't really said woof
That's
woof.
That's early days, yeah.
That's early
days. So they must look at our Insta stories.
You know who I thought it could be?
Who?
Jake Jansen. I had this thing that it could be Jake fucking with us. Do you think it could be Jake? I love Jake.
Yeah, it could be.
But is he a good writer? I'd say he's a chip off the old block. You know, the Jansens
are probably
quite particular.
Yeah, I think like there was some language in there that... Where they're creative, they're not necessarily grammatically on point.
Data scientist. If we had one on the books, I like take the letters and the words and the way it's written, and we ingest all of our comments and people who are interacting through Instagram and see if there was there's any similarities. I don't know how you do it, but it would look like this if it was being done.
Just going through the Instagram stories.
Like, that was like the Unabomber. They did something like that with the Unabomber, matching up the types of handwriting.
It's crazy. I mean, we've got only digital. Writing, but I think you could grammatically, because I mean, well written. I couldn't fucking write an email like that. I'm an absolute grump. I mean, you read that quite well, so it was well written. You reckon?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to say
written by a gronk for a gronk.
Definitely. Yeah, that's so bizarre. Yeah. Look, there's a few weird things happening on this show. Glitter bombs are being sent. Weird emails are being put forward.
I think Sam Cav's right. It's getting weirder and weirder, isn't it? as we have our beanies on and we lead to the final weeks of 3D Dill being here.
As Dill says, it's not a podcast, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. And to be fair, it's my last few days in Australia for now. It's not like it's not like I'm leaving Australia forever.
Well,
I'm coming back.
I mean, you say
that. Is that a threat?
It's a public service.
It's a public. Very good.
All right, Pete Shepherd, you've got one of the brand new The Daily Talk Show beanies.
Gem stuff is waiting.
Gem stuff. This is.
I tried FaceTiming Pete yesterday. Didn't answer.
Amy, so. This is like so Amy.
Fuck you, Pete.
This is like so Amy.
Yeah, these are very on point. It's very Brie, isn't it?
So good.
That's what I thought.
I love it. And we got new The Daily Talk Show hoodies.
Oh, thank you to While You Sleep.
Yeah,
Dion.
Haven't paid your invoice yet, but I will.
But they were just I just thought they were very quick.
Mate, I texted Dion and I said, dude, can you get this done? He said, maybe. I sent him through the artwork because he asked. And then I said, can you get this done? He said, maybe. I texted him once more and said, do you reckon you'll have it done by this weekend? He said, they're done.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Yeah,
if you're
in Melbourne, if you need screen printing specifically.
Yeah, while you sleep in Collingwood. Sick. I mean, they got a new machine too.
What is the new machine? What is
it's just like another big sort of like circular. It looks like just this big circular machine. It's all digital. There's lights under each screen.
I'd love to do screen printing.
It's cool.
Maybe we could do a little screen printing down in the garage.
He's got like a – You need the machine. You need a printer and then you need the board. Yes, you do. You need a printer.
A printer?
Yes, to print off this actual so it prints off this piece of plastic film and then you put that inside of the actual screen printing thing and then it's like heated and then sticks – transfers. Anyway, it's a full process. Craig Harper would be able to give us a fucking fair bit of knowledge. He had a screen printing business.
We should do some Gronk Squad ones as well.
Mate, we got lots of merch happening. Yeah. Fund the fun, baby.
Yeah.
Fund the fun.
Yeah, that was the headline of Friday's ep.
Yeah.
It's a Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com. If you want to send us an email, if you're enjoying the show.
Or if you have a story about Josh.
Yeah, you can email us or you can screen grab and share. Thank you to Trev. Which tomorrow you'll be heading off to go see Trev in Sydney.
As the book is coming out, I'll be flying off to Sydney. So
in business.
Business class.
I mean.
I'm going to eat so much at that lounge.
Yeah, go to the lounge.
Like, we should see how much you can take the piss of the lounge.
Oh, I'm going to abuse it until they kick me out.
Could you try and eat? Like they always have a stack of cheese slices.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take the whole lot of cheese slices.
No, he's flying business, dude. They'll know he's. Can you see your boarding pass?
Yeah.
Business, 1A, pointy end.
Yeah, I'll be wearing this and the hat.
Like you can feel like you're Jeff Jowett back in the day.
I feel like we need a lanyard. Wouldn't it be great to have lanyards?
Mate, you said to me, can you get hoodies for the weekend? I did it.
Yeah, it's great.
Now it's fucking lanyards.
So what are we doing tomorrow's app? Because we've also got...
we're seeing Gary V tomorrow.
Yeah.
Gazza. Jules Lund is on tour with Gary V, which is pretty cool.
So when are you flying out?
Noon.
How are we getting him here there?
I don't know.
Uber? I can take
the Skybus.
Skybus to business.
Yeah. Maybe we should get him an Uber. We could probably get him.
Do the whole... Get whole experience, not Uber Black.
No.
You're fucking loose. One person pays the invoice and he's like setting him in black, set him the fuck down. Yeah. It's a daily talk show, but we're going to see Jules and Gary V.
Yeah. And who else is there?
Grant Cardone.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing, baby?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll set you some tasks.
Oh, that's so sad. Well, you know that it's like saying, oh, you're not invited. What are you doing? Like, it's a pretty mean thing to do. Yeah, I'm so sorry. It's the Daily Talk Show. We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.